This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Still nothing from Woods, huh?
I mean, I stopped bugging him.
Welcome back. Halfway home on a Friday morning with Ben and Woods, Pauly Reindl, Woodsy in Manchester, England, where he did say he planned to join us at some point this morning. But early morning text, at least early on our part, early afternoon text to Woods were met with kind of a, like a groan.
He's on the struggle bus.
Yeah. You should have gone with him, Pauly, just to
rein him in.
Yeah, just to keep him, make sure he was okay, make sure he gets back home, gets to his show, gets back to his hotel, gets back home.
Is that because if you went with him, he wouldn't do anything?
Right. I couldn't.
And if I went with him, he'd have a little bit of fun, but not
too much fun. I feel like you would have reined him in just a little bit.
I don't know. If you cut loose like you did in Philly, who knows where you'd be
It's true. We had a good time in Philly, but we all made it safely back, and I'm just hoping that Woods makes it safely back.
I just hope he makes it to the concert tomorrow.
Yes, first to the concert tomorrow. And that's probably what he's doing right now. He is making sure that he is in good shape for the big day tomorrow for Oasis, 80,000 people and his 50th birthday.
Exactly.
So, yeah, he enjoyed himself upon arrival yesterday. Now, maybe taking a little extra nappy time at his hotel in Manchester.
Yeah, I stopped texting him. It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon over there. I'm sure he's awake. He's on vacation. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to bother you.
Non-work time.
We don't need it. We're good. We got you. Enjoy your vacation.
We're not going to expect him. I mean, if we see his number, we will pick up. But we're not expecting him now to call in the next couple of hours. So we're down one member of the program on a Friday. And as I understand it, almost we're down two members. And it could have been just me by myself here with Adam or Italian Paul on a Friday. Because you were seriously tempted to at least leave early from the show today.
Yeah. I've been aware of something happening today here in San Diego for a little while now. And then it just kind of crept up on me later this week as I was like, oh, crap, that's Friday. That is, yesterday. I was like, oh, that's tomorrow, huh? I'm a bit of a sneakerhead. I don't own, I don't have like 100 pairs of shoes or anything crazy like that.
Only 96.
96. 97, like between 97 and 98, like 97.3 pairs of shoes. But no, I'm interested in the shoe culture. I like seeing the new releases and the new drops that come out. They're hard to get now. You gotta basically apply on a lottery system on like the Nike app or whatever, but it's fun. It gives you something to kind of chase. It's like anything else you collect. And, so I'm more for quality over quantity. I don't get every, like, I think I've got one pair of shoes in the last 6 months, but there is a Nike shoe drop happening in less than 2 hours now at Arts and Rec down in Chula Vista.
Tier 1 Carlos says he's there right now, Pauly.
Carlos, I'm a size 13. Send me your Venmo and I'll take care of you, buddy. So Arts and Rec, they are a skateboard shop in Chula Vista. They have a lot of like collaborations, whether it's with Mitchell & Ness, Nike, Jordan Brand, and they get these exclusive drops, like shoes that only come out on the app. So you think they'll have a few pairs and you can go down in store, wait in line, like, like we used to do for everything. And you wait in line and you can buy the shoes there in person. Well, today, Nike, their SB, their skateboard line, they have partnered with Arts and Rec specifically with them for the design of two shoes coming out today that I think look awesome. And they're like San Diego specific, like people in New York, people in wherever, like this is a San Diego design, a San Diego drop. And they partnered with the store rather than just giving them a few pairs of the whatever shoe to sell. So this is like a San Diego thing. And brother, when I saw people lining up on Instagram yesterday, I saw a video that they posted, Arts and Rec. There were people lining up in chairs and tents and everything at about like 2 p.m. yesterday for a 10 a.m. drop today. The store was closed yesterday as they get ready for the release today. Now, if you don't get them in person, you have the chance to get them online on their website later today. I'm sure the website will crash right when it goes live. And then I think next week You can win them through the lottery system on Nike's website. And then after that, you gotta go on the secondhand market and pay 2, 3, 4 times as much.
You have a picture of these shoes for our YouTube audience.
Yeah, the first the reason why people are lining, well, not the reason, but one of the reasons why people are lining up at Arts and Rec, first 300 people get like this really cool case for the shoes, like a trunk instead of a shoe box, like a cardboard box. It's just a big trunk, and it comes with like some sunglasses, a hat, a bunch of other stuff. So it's just a cool thing that like San Diego is being highlighted by Nike across the world now. Like everybody's going to have access to this drop, and it's a San Diego themed like partnership here.
They look cool. I'm not denying that.
Those are two different shoes.
Yes, I realize that. They're not matching, so I figured, although I don't know shoes well enough, maybe you are supposed to wear different Punky no. Brewster-esque different kinds of shoes now. I just don't quite get it, Paulie. I appreciate how much you love it. Is it the craftsmanship? Is it the rarity of them? I literally buy my shoes at Costco.
It's not just shoes. You don't collect anything. Like when Woods, if Woods was here, I'd be like, you know, you chase down, you go to record store day and records, you know, vinyl records have drops and stuff like that. And that's something that you collect. It's more like that.
I guess for me, you're taking an item. I mean, essentially, it is a shoe, something that we all have to use every single day. It's a shoe, goes on your feet, protects your feet while you're walking. Certainly, there are some comfortable ones and different styles, maybe like Velcro, maybe like laces, maybe like Skechers. Just step right in and wear them. But everyone has them. But by kind of artificially hyping up certain shoes, you are magnifying just the value
of
that one particular shoe.
Yes, Michael Jordan's shoes.
Is it really that much better than the other shoes, though?
Yes, Michael Jordan's shoes that cost $200, even back in the 80s, 90s, whatever, like, it's because there was hype and because we decided they were worth $200.
But they're not really that much superior to a similar athletic shoe of a similar design
that doesn't have a
huge name like Michael Jordan or Nike behind it.
Well, you could buy a Mercedes and you can buy a Honda. That's, you know what I mean, like it's still a car and it still does the same job.
Yeah, it does the same job and I get it, but
it still could be a nice car.
Yeah, I mean, but there's like tangible luxury improvements, you know, like leather seats, things that are comfortable. And now with the shoe, the design, you know, it's cool and I'm sure it's quality craftsmanship, but there are other quality shoes that people don't wait in line to get. You don't have to wait in line. No one makes you wait in line for shoes.
It's the fact that they do like limited amounts of them, which means, you know.
Which is artificial. If they thought they would be popular, they could make millions of them.
Supply and demand. That's a basic.
And it wouldn't be that hard.
Economy.
So they're artificially lowering the supply to kind of artificially increase the demand of these shoes. Are they playing you is what I want to know.
Oh, of course.
They're playing.
Like everybody's getting played by everything in business, you know, when it comes to buying stuff.
But if it makes you happy, then that's really all that matters. And it makes you happy.
Well, what makes me happy with like drops like this is that's how you get them for retail, which is, you know, yes, if you want to get existential and just be like, oh, why would you pay $130 for a pair of shoes when you could buy the same pair of shoes for $20?
Now, what
I get it. I understand that.
What I respect, though, is that if you got these shoes, they would remain in your collection. What I can't really abide by are the people who do this just so they can get their hands on a pair to then sell at five times the value of what they paid to someone who wasn't willing to go through the trouble of waiting in line.
I'm like Woods.
Simply a cottage. And yeah, someone like Woods who's willing to overpay for something
that
he wants, but has no patience to actually go through the process of trying to get it himself.
Yeah, and there's really no way to know what like the second, like the resale market will look like. You know, those shoes that are $130, if you get them today in person, they could be $180 online. They could also be $500 or even more. You know, like, you don't know. So that's the risk you take, I guess. I'm not going to buy them if they're on the resale on the secondhand market. I'm going to just take my chances online.
All right. Well, good luck to you.
Hey, thank you.
Maybe good karma comes your way and you still end up with these shoes. You did win one of those lotteries recently, didn't you? Got some shoes.
Yeah, I won a few on like the sneakers app. You know, it's like I don't even know. They tell you like exactly like how many thousands of pairs get released ahead of time. I think those are all like rumored, but you can see like, oh, this is a big release. There'll probably be a little bit more availability, and then there's like, oh, they only made 1,000 pairs. Like those are going to be really hard to get. Everyone in the country, everyone in the world is trying to grab those.
Let me lay out what we've got coming up for you the rest of the program today. It is a Friar Friday at the bottom of the hour. We will be joined by Chris Kemp. He is the Padres Vice President in charge of international and amateur scouting. He was just pretty much in charge of the draft. AJ gets, I think, the final say, but he's listening to Chris pretty closely on these decisions to draft players like Cruz Schoolcraft. So we'll get his draft wrap-up coming up at the bottom of the hour. And then in-season Sammy is going to join us as he gets ready to return from his All-Star break for a Padres pre- and post-game show. I think we got 2:45 this afternoon for the pregame show, weather permitting, with a 3:45 first pitch, Dylan Cease on the mound for the opener of the second half. And we had just had Darren Smith on, and at the end I asked him, I mentioned the roundtable yesterday. I literally felt bad like the rest of the day that we all kind of ganged up on Robert Suarez for no good reason whatsoever. That simply the emotional toll. And I had my arguments. I said you could trade Robert Suarez from a position of strength, address other needs, knowing that he's probably going to opt out and be a free agent at the end of the year. Plus, you know, there's just been a few signs that maybe he's vulnerable, you know, that the fastball, that they're waiting for it, they're lining it up and, you know, hitting line drive singles to the opposite field, that are you going to trust him in a big situation with the playoffs on the line or in a postseason game? Or would you rather kind of see Jason Adam, Adrian Morey home? Because one thing I don't think Mike Schilt will do, if Robert Suarez is in his bullpen, Robert Suarez will remain the closer. He's not going to all of a sudden one day go, I love Robert Suarez, he's gotten the job done for us all the time, but you know what? It's time for Adrian Morejon to start closing games. I don't see Mike Schilt making that change. The only reason he would change would be if Robert Suarez was traded and was no longer an option, or if he was hurt, obviously, or unavailable because he's pitched 2 or 3 days in a row. Then you've seen other guys, Jeremiah Estrada, Adrian Morejon, pick up a save. I just don't know that Suarez is probably, of those four, he's probably your fourth most effective reliever that you have in as your save guy. So if other teams are willing to overpay for him, I'm willing to listen.
Sure.
If you're going to overpay for the Padres' fourth best reliever because he has so many saves, I think that's something that you owe it to your team to actually listen to what you could get for him.
Yeah, I think yesterday on the roundtable, like, it unfairly kind of turned to all of us just piling on Robert Suarez, and that's not what the intention was by any of us.
No, there's nothing to pile on. He's been very effective by any measure you want to bring up. He's been very effective.
It's just the debate of, like, do you pull from a position of strength to address other areas? Because you're not going to be able to trade Trenton Brooks and get upgrades.
Correct.
Like, it's going to have to hurt at least a little bit. And I think he's just the guy where you're like, it won't derail the season potentially if we moved him. That's it. And I guess that's still insulting to him.
I kind of agree,
way.
But Darren made the great point. Is you've got a great strength. It's your bullpen. Don't diminish your strength.
If anything, add to it.
Just to hopefully address a weakness. You don't know that you're going to address the weakness, but you know you'll be diminishing the strength. I don't expect Robert Suarez, after putting some thought into it yesterday, I don't expect him to be traded.
I just don't know that the pieces that you get are going to be meaningful enough for the big league team lose him.
Likely not.
You might get a bench outfielder or something, but it's like, again, is that really going to be much of an upgrade, if at all, over what you already have? I don't know.
This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Staples. How many times have we all said, that was easy? Well, the Staples easy button is back, and it's got us saying it again. For custom prints, shipping services, even passport photos, plus quality products delivered next day to over 98% of the U.S. Staples, that was easy. All right, no Woods. John Flynn isn't here either. So instead of take on Woods.
Is anybody here?
No one's here.
I have not seen a single
person
in the building.
Our new sales guy, Dave, is here. Hard worker, up early on a Friday. Way to go, Dave.
We'll play Take on Dave, maybe.
We're going to play Real or Fake again. That's what I got for you. It's a chance to qualify for Vegas, though. It's a fun guessing game. We will do that next. We need a contestant, though. 833-288-0973. 833-288-0973. And then Chris Kemp at the bottom of the hour with Ben Woods after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. First, though, I bet I have to tell you about trust and will. I do. Correct. If you do not have your estate documents in order, just do what Woods and I did earlier this year when we went through a very simple online process. It was set up with easy questions to answer, and at the end, they were able to ship real estate documents, a will or a trust, to our house where you can keep it in your files for that moment where, of course, eventually you're going to need it. Hopefully it's not for a long time, but you got the peace of mind knowing that your family is taken care of, especially when it comes to a trust. If you do not specify, if you do not set up a trust, you get your family an expensive hassle, a giant hassle of probate court that can take months and months, huge expense, maybe higher tax bills, when you can avoid it all and give them access to your estate, your funds right away, everything that you've left, simply by setting up that trust at trustandwill.com. And right now, use the code FAN at trustandwill.com, get 20% off and free shipping of your estate documents at the end of the really quick process. You don't deal with a lawyer's office, no billable hours, simply questions, answers. This is estate planning for everybody out there. You can do it. We did it. Just check it out today by going to trustandwill.com. That's trustandwill.com. Fleetwood Mac in the news yesterday. Might have more on that in the Rindle Report, I believe we'll get to a little early today, coming up at 9 o'clock. We got our Friar Friday guest, Chris Kemp, though, in just a couple of minutes. So why don't we get right to it? It is time to play a special Friday edition of Real or Fake.
Some are here for the compelling sports talk with Ben and Woods.
Yeah, you can go plow through another donut.
It's time for Real or Fake on 97.3 The Fan. Tell the people what they'll win today.
Real or Fake brought to you by Bay Alarms, security and fire alarms for every business. We got you, and we got, is this Jeremy?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Jeremy. Let's put you right into our game here. If you can get 4 out of 7 right on Real or Fake, we will put you into the grand prize drawing for our trip to Las Vegas, 2-night stay at the Park MGM, and 2 tickets to Motley Crue on September 19th, along with a $100 gas card. Get your own tickets to Motley Crue at Ticketmaster.com. Well, perfect timing again. Chris Kemp coming in, and we've got a draft-related game of Real or Fake. Padres took Cruz Schoolcraft with their first overall pick. Pretty cool name, as so many of AJ's selections have been. But there were also some other cool names drafted early in the first and second rounds this last week. So today on Real or Fake, I'll give you an interesting name. You tell me if it's a real 2025 MLB draft pick or a fake I've thrown in to fool you. Pretty simple. You ready to play, Jeremy?
Yeah.
All right, let's do this. Round number one, Real or Fake draft pick. Pico Cone. Pico Cone. Real or fake?
Real.
That is. Left-handed pitcher out of Mississippi State. Pico Cone. That's 1. You need 3 more to win. Let's go. Round number 2. Ike Irish. Ike Irish. Real or fake?
Real.
Real. Yeah. Outfield catcher out of Auburn. We are doing very well. All right. Let's go with round number 3. Chase Shores. Chase Shores. Real or fake?
Real.
Real again, right-handed pitcher out of LSU. This is the greatest game that's ever been played. If real
is this
or fake,
Chris Kemp on the line.
Hang on, all right, one more, and you are a winner. All right, let's go round number 4. Jace Rachmaninoff, real or fake?
Fake.
Boom.
I mean,
that doesn't get any easier than that. All right, you've done, Jeremy. You have qualified for the grand prize drawing.
That is an all-time performance.
Paulie, how would you like to play here? Slater de Bruin. Well, you already know.
I'm not looking. I'm not looking. Slater.
Slater de Bruin.
Real.
That is real.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yuli Fernsler.
Real.
It is real.
Really?
Freeman Kobayashi.
Fake.
Fake. Wow. I could not fool anybody today.
You suck.
My game is off. I'll try to do better next week, everybody. But congratulations to Jeremy.
Stick to take on Woods questions.
Qualifies for the grand prize drawing for Vegas at the end of the month. That's okay. That went quickly, which means we can get to a little break and set up Chris Kemp, Padres Vice President of Amateur and International Scouting, on a Friar Friday. Maybe he can tell us about some more names like Pico Cone and Slater de Bruin as well. Certainly about Cruz Schoolcraft. That will be coming up next year on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. First, though, I get a chance to tell you about SDFatLoss.com. I am spreading the word throughout San Diego, and I feel like I'm doing a pretty good job, because everywhere I go, even when we were in Philly, Tier 1 came up to me and said, did the SDFatLoss.com program, lost 55 pounds. That is a great success story, but not Not a crazy one, because with SDFatLoss.com, you can expect to lose up to 10 to 20% of your body weight in just 60 days. So if you're starting at 200 pounds, you know, 40 pounds is not out of the question. I lost 40 pounds in 60 days. That's up to a day with no injections, no exercise, and no bars or shakes or mixes to buy. You are eating real food, stuff from the grocery store. I ate a lot of chicken and steak, some fish, vegetables, and I lost weight by eating them at the right times, the right portions. They'll explain it to you. Your counselor will have it all laid out for you. You'll start losing weight. If you stop losing weight, they will kind of get you back started again with tips and techniques. They are right by your side the entire way to make sure that you're successful and that you love the program so that you'll tell your friends and they will try the program as well. All you have to do is go online to sdfatloss.com, set up your free consultation, and take advantage of their summer special here in June. Get $200 off. You can do it during the summer. I did it during the summer. Why not you? Do it now. Won't wait. Don't think, I'll do it in the fall. No, do it now. And then you'll feel great by the fall. By September, you'll be a brand new you by going to sdfatloss.com. That's sdfatloss.com. Results may vary. Always love running into Chris Kemp. Usually it's in spring training because, you know, when you're in charge of scouting, that means you're not often with the team. You're with other teams, watching other players elsewhere. Of course, MLB draft with just this past week. Padres added some more players into the minor league system. We're going to break it all down on a Friar Friday with Padres Vice President of Amateur and International Scouting, Chris Kemp. We will do that right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. You know, I'd imagine our next guest would have also done well in real or fake MLB draft picks from this past week. He is Padres Vice President of Amateur and International Scouting, Chris Kemp, joining us on a Friar Friday. Chris, it's great to have you on the show. I'd pass along Woods's thanks as well, but we haven't heard from him since he got to England. We hope he's okay.
Yeah, I hope he's all right.
All right, before we talk about some of the specific draft picks, tell me how it kind of works in the draft room with AJ. I've heard AJ say so many times how much he relies on you and his scouts and everyone for this process every single year. So when the Padres' turn comes up, you know, first round pick, and do you give him the name? Have you already decided? Does he ever overrule you? How does the process work?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty collaborative. You know, a lot of good evaluators, a lot of good scouts that have signed some really good big leaguers, all stars, Hall of Famers. So you really want to listen to the group. And yeah, I think this year as it rolled down, you know, with Schoolcraft in particular, you know, we had him kind of top five, top six on our board. And as it got down to it, you know, it's between him and maybe a couple other options. And you know, you kind of gauge the room and then you talk to AJ and kind of see where his head's at. And, you know, we end up rolling Schoolcraft. But I think AJ's really using our scouts, using our resources, using the analytics when we need to, just kind of using the whole room, you know, sports science, whether it's a breakdown under the hood on some stats from the Cape or a scout seeing a guy on a backfield going, hey man, this guy's a big leader. You know, you take it all in and try to make the best decision you can.
Well, he certainly seemed to check the boxes. Big high school left-handed pitcher with a crazy sounding name, right up the Padres alley for a draft. If you had him ranked that high though, I mean, how surprised were you that he fell all the way near the bottom of the first round where you guys were picking?
Very surprised. And, you know, like I said, this is just where we had him evaluated compared to some of the famous college guys and, you know, taking a look at Cruz and projecting, hey, where's this guy going to be in 2-3 years? He could be as good as anyone on this list. And you know, as we started ranking the board, that's just kind of where we had him based off the upside and the talent. And, you know, why he felt that way, I don't know. You know, a lot of teams are more, you know, want to take some college guys or take some bats, and I guess high school arms are viewed as risky. But, you know, in this case, the reward was too big to pass up.
So after Schoolcraft goes, you guys got to wait around, you know, for a couple of hours with no second-round pick this year. So you're waiting and waiting and waiting. I'd imagine you can't even really know what direction you're going to go. Finally, in the third round, you take Ryan Weidman. Tell me what appealed to you guys about Weidman. I've heard some things about potential power, still, you know, some stuff to work on, but give us your scouting report on him.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with Ryan that attracted us was, you know, he's an 80-grade runner with a chance to be an elite center fielder. You know, and he's always hit. He's always stole 40, 50 bags a year. You know, he's hit 400 everywhere he's gone, but we felt he was the best raw athlete in the draft. You know, he's running 4.0s down the line at 6'5" with a baby face. He still looks like he's in high school. You know, still had the dream on body-wise. And, you know, for us, he was just, at the end of the day, the best athlete in the class. I think, you know, we had first-round tools on Ryan. Obviously, some things maybe polished up in the swing. But just overall, once again, the upside, you know, we probably had him, you know, 50, 60 range on our board. And, you know, a lot of good scouts with some first-round type tool grades on Ryan. So, you know, I felt comfortable really taking him there, pick 99. Really excited.
Talking to Chris Kemp, Padres Vice President of Amateur and International Scouting on a Friar Friday. So you got to the second day, and I saw it written that knowing that, you know, you're going to have to, you know, you have to pay Cruz Schoolcraft and you got the limited draft allotment budget, that you guys went with a lot of college, you know, seniors who, you know, you're going to have a little more leverage in terms of signing, so that you could take a couple of chances on what turned out to be a couple of high school catchers in the 5th and 11th round. Ty Harvey and Truett Madonna, another great name, amazing.
Yep.
Two catchers, though. Like, what did you see there that made you go that direction?
These are guys, if they get to college, they're first-round type guys. You know, one's going to Florida State, one's UCLA, and they're both really physical. You know, 6'2", 200 pounds. They both can play all over the field. They both have a huge track record of hitting, game power in games. So our thought there was, hey, if these guys get to campus, these are what first-round catchers look like. And to get both those guys in the system with their versatility, with their athleticism, with their toughness and, you know, history of hitting for power in games, was very attractive.
Talking to Chris Kemp. Okay, so I know how many months of work, all the travel, you know, so many scouts that you have in different areas covering their regions. And you're taking guys from places that I've never even heard of, like Lewis University. What? Uh-huh. Tell me, I mean, like, what are some of the stories that go into how you find these guys? You hear from some of your scouts. I mean, is there some, like, random crazy adventures that go on in determining who you guys are going to pick every year?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think, you know, every Monday I'm talking to all our scouts, literally. You know, every Monday I'll call the guys, hey, where do you need me this week? What's popping? What's going on? You know, where do we need to send a cross checker in? Hey, you know, need David Post in my ear. Hey, I need Logan to see this guy. Whatever it is, every Monday we kind of activate and get our weekly coverage. And then, you know, stories start to rise, right? You know, if you're really dialed in with your area scouts on the ground, you're going to hear some really interesting stories about, hey, man, I just saw this guy at a D2, or, hey, I was the only scout here for a week straight. I need someone to get in and see this guy. Or, you know, we do a lot of regional tryouts around the country and give kids from smaller schools an opportunity to kind of showcase their skills, and you'll get guys that just surprise you. And I think for us, you know, whether it's Clemson or Lewis University, doesn't really matter. You know, you're betting on people and you're scouting the talent. So, you know, we're not really called up if it is a big school, small school. You know, we're betting on people and their talent.
I'd imagine it is kind of thrilling when you think you're kind of one of the only teams that have spotted a guy, like you found a diamond that other teams aren't aware of. But it's probably scary too, going like, are we seeing something that everyone else is not seeing? Like, to have the confidence to kind of zig when other teams are zagging. What's that feel like?
No, I mean, that's kind of the fun part, you know, and you just have a lot of confidence in the room with all the good evaluators and just scouts with a track record in that room. You don't really get caught up in like, oh man, what are we looking at? It's like, hey, what are they missing? When those things happen, and that becomes harder each year, you know, with all the just social media or the TrackMan, and, you know, a lot of people, we're all scouting the same guys. So, you know, when you feel like you can get an edge on somebody, and whether it's a small town kid or a small school kid, you know, we never really have the vibe of like, oh man, are we wrong? It's like, hey, I think we're ahead of the game right now. So you just need to stay confident in these kids.
All right, here's something I'm curious about, because they hold the first and round of the draft on Sunday afternoon, but games are going on, including, you know, the Padres were still playing the Phillies. How much is, like, AJ paying attention to the game versus the draft on Sunday afternoon?
Yeah, that was interesting, you know, and you know, to have Nick Pivetta, pretty much our second round pick, dealing on draft day was pretty cool. You know, we've got the game on, so it's like, you know, it's kind of split. You know, we're all kind of watching the game, and, you know, we're not picking until 25, so I think, you know, we're in that, like, ninth inning making a comeback with runners on, and, you know, I think, like, pick 7 or 8 rolling down, so we're all kind of watching the game because we still have a ton of time before, you know, any decision has to be made. So it was a pretty cool dynamic.
All right, so now that the draft is over, how quickly are you into, you know, preparations? And I'm sure you've already scouted some guys who weren't even draft eligible and starting to put your board together for next year. But what is the the summer like for you and your scouts?
My guess
now?
Is he started last week on next year.
Well, no, actually, I took a red eye last night from San Diego. I'm watching Jacob Lombard hit BP for Team USA trials right now in Cary, North Carolina. So they've got about top 80 high school players for 2026. So I'll stay here for 3-4 days, just kind of getting a lay of the land for the 2026 high school class right now.
Is that real or fake in terms of a draft prospect? Did you just throw a name out there? You wouldn't tell us who you're actually really
Jacob
looking
Lombard.
At.
Right? He's got a chance to be a top five guy for next year. And he played on our scout team this summer. And he literally was hitting BP as we were talking, so it's real.
It never ends. It's a year round proposition, and getting ready for the next draft and getting all the scouts together again.
The competition's real, man. You know, the fight for prospects is real. It's not like I'm the only guy here. You know, there's about 70 scouts here, all from other teams grinding. And you know that hunt for the next prospect and getting looks at the next high school crop, man, it's just big time competition, man.
Yeah, there used to be what, like 60? How many rounds did there used to be in the draft? There's only 20 now.
It used to be 50 back in the day. Then they shortened it to 40. Now we're at 20.
So, are you done? Like the guys who didn't get drafted? I know you signed a couple of undrafted free agents. Is that process over now, or are you still looking at guys who may be without a team that were interesting to you but didn't get drafted?
Yeah, no, we, I call it our 21st round crew. As soon as the draft's over, we made about 6 to 8 quick phone calls. That's when you kind of go into recruit mode, right? It's us, you know, do you want to sign with the Padres? Do you want to sign with the Cubs or whatever? So it's like right when the draft's over, even after a long day, you know, we're grinding the phones. You can kind of put your college recruiter hat on and, you know, sell the program and what we're about. And, you know, we've locked up close to, I think, 10 guys after the draft. So I think we're done, but, you know, ears are always open if there's someone that's falling through the cracks and we got space to sign somebody. We'll be all over it.
I think fans are going, well, I mean, how good could they be if they went undrafted in 20 rounds? There's a guy in your bullpen right now, David Morgan, right? He was one of those.
Oh, no doubt.
One of those guys who did not get drafted and signed by the Padres as an undrafted free agent and now doing some good things in the bullpen. That must be really satisfying when you get a guy like that and then they make it to the big leagues and start performing and helping the Padres.
Dude, that's why we do it, right? And you know, we've signed some other non-drafted free agents last couple of years, providing big value. You know, Braden Nett being one of those guys. You know, he might be in line to make his debut later this year. Who knows? But you know, those are real picks. Those are real signs. You know, that 21st round crew. They might have not got drafted in the top 20, but you know, you can look back in the history of the game. Ton of good big leaguers from that 21st to 50th round back in the day. So. You know, you need to stay aggressive and stay alert signing those guys.
But don't fall in love because, you know, AJ, in the next couple of weeks, could be sending any of them anywhere else to help your team. Mm-hmm. Right, Chris? So
yeah.
That's how it works.
We're ready for anything.
But you get like I don't want to say like a sense of joy because you get attached to these guys. You want to see them succeed for you. But there has to be a little bit of a sense of accomplishment when you're like, hey, this was a guy that we scouted and it helped land us blank in a major league trade. Like that is part of the job.
No, it's a huge part, and whatever, and I've said it before, and I'll say it again, whatever AJ and Josh Stein need to do to, you know, keep us in playoff contention and make another World Series run with Mike Shildt, we get 40,000 a night rolling in, and, you know, we're trading for All-Stars. Hey, man, we got to keep the train rolling.
No, I mean, like, half the guys in the All-Star game were Padres at some point in the system and came through all the scouts.
Cool,
and we've seen the success of what you guys do, and I know fans appreciate it and appreciate your time and coming in and talking to everybody on a Friar Friday. Chris, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. You'll have a good weekend.
Yeah, one of the good guys in the Padres organization that we don't get to talk to often enough, Chris Kemp, Vice President of Amateur and International Scouting for the San Diego Padres. He always comes up, big greeting every spring when we do get to see him. But, yeah, the rest of the year he's usually scouting or, you know, coordinating.
Might see him at fantasy camp because they'll have off-season workouts with some of the younger kids out there. So he'll be out there just driving the golf cart around and checking things out.
But rarely do we run into Chris in season, other than maybe a press conference right after the draft, right about now. That's about it.
Yeah, no, he is on the move constantly. That would be a hectic lifestyle for me.
Yeah, I can't. He's already scouting again. Like, it just never stops looking at guys for next year. 11 months and 3 weeks in advance of next year's MLB draft.
So. I'd love to know. I'd love to hear stories of like scout wars. Well, I'm sure you see the same guys everywhere you go.
It was Jackson Merrill. They had the whole story of AJ having to kind of hide. Like it was
don't tell
COVID
anybody you're talking to us.
He was hiding like on the football field, and the security guard came and like, hey, you can't be here. And he's like, I'm not supposed to be here. And then they go, who are you? And I'm going, I'm nobody. I'm not. You've never heard of me. I'm Joe Smith, just a random guy here.
Yeah, my name is Mike Rizzo.
Trying not to let
everybody
know.
Yeah, hi, I'm Brian Cashman.
How interested he was in draft. Because that's why I was surprised that Chris even gave us the name of George Lumbar or whatever he's watching right now. It's right. Like, okay, well,
Jordan.
Everyone knows that the Padres are in on that guy, and now they're all going to take an extra hard look at him as well. So I think there's a little gamesmanship. I probably he's such a high prospect. Everyone knows that. Yeah.
He's at Team USA workouts. There's a lot of people there.
These aren't the under-the-radar guys that they're trying to keep everybody else from knowing that they're scouting really closely. Because, you get one of those guys and you hope they may fall like 17th, 18th round. We don't have to use a higher pick on them because we think that other teams aren't aware of them. Now, if you know everybody's in, well, we're going to have to use one of our top picks or he'll be taken. So that's part of the gamesmanship of draft as well. How far can we let this guy go before we feel like we'd better take him or someone's going to get on him?
Gus says he's the number one high school ranked shortstop in the country.
Yeah, okay, so he's not.
So I'm guessing a lot of people are well aware of him.
Hopefully the Padres finish, playoffs and don't have an early first-round draft pick that they're taking the number one high school shortstop in the country next year. Something may have gone horribly wrong if the Padres are drafting early enough next year to take a guy that's hyped that much. But, he could get hurt.
You say that.
And then he falls, and the Padres go, hey, we just got a steal, and we scouted him, and we loved him. So.
I'm curious how much their philosophy changes, like, round by round, whether it's, hey, we need a couple of arms early, and then when do you switch to, like, just best athlete, best player available, and we'll figure it out from there.
1 hour to go. Sammy Levitt's going to join us. We got more Rick Springfield tickets to give away, and Pauly's got a Ryan Report headlines we missed, a potential Fleetwood Mac reunion in the works with the Ryan Report. We'll do that early up next year on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.